fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 474. It is May 17, 2016. Well, today the pilgrims finish their walk through the enchanted land by having a serious fellowship in the things of God. We're reading from Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Just about to wrap it up. A couple more days. So I saw in my dream that they, that is Christian and hopeful, went on a pace before, and ignorance he came hobbling after. Then said Christian to his companion, "It pities me much for this poor man. It will certainly go ill with him at last." "Alas," says hopeful, "there are abundance in our town in his condition, whole families, yea, whole streets, and that of pilgrims too. And if there be so many in our parts, how many do you think must there be in the place where he was born?" Christian, "Indeed, the word saith, he hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see. But now we are by ourselves. What do you think of such men? Have they at no time, think you, convictions of sin, so consequently fears that their state is dangerous?" Hopeful, "Nay, do you answer that question yourself? For you are the elder man." "And then I say, sometimes, as I think, they may, but they being naturally ignorant, understand not that such convictions tend to their good, and therefore they do desperately seek to stifle them, and presumptuously continue to flatter themselves in the way of their own hearts." Hopeful, "I do believe, as you say, that fear tends much to men's good, and to make them right at their beginning to go on pilgrimage." Christian, "Without all doubt it doth, if it be right. For so says the word, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Hopeful, "How will you describe right fear?" "Well, true or right fear is discovered by three things. One, by its rise. It is caused by saving convictions for sin. Two, it driveth the soul to lay fast hold of Christ for salvation. And three, it begetteth and continueth in the soul a great reverence of God, his word and ways, keeping it tender, and making it afraid to turn from them, to the right hand or to the left, to say anything that may dishonor God, break its peace, grieve the spirit, or cause the enemy to speak reproachfully." Hopeful, "Well said. I believe you have said the truth. Are we now almost got past the enchanted ground?" Christian, "Why, art thou weary of this discourse?" "No, verily, but that I would know where we are." "Well, we have not now above 2 miles further to go thereon, but let us return to our matter. Now, the ignorant know not that such convictions that tend to put them in fear are for their good, and therefore they seek to stifle them." "How do they seek to stifle them?" "Well, one, they think that those fears are wrought by the devil, though indeed they are wrought of God. And thinking so, they resist them as things that directly tend to their overthrow. Two, they also think that these fears tend to the spoiling of their faith, when alas, for them, poor men that they are, they have none at all. And therefore they harden their hearts against them. Three, they presume they ought not to fear, and therefore, in despite of them, wax presumptuously confident. Four, they see that those fears tend to take away from them their pitiful old self-holiness, and therefore they resist them with all their might." Hopeful, "I know something of this myself. Before I knew myself, it was so with me." Christian, "Well, we will leave at this time our neighbor Ignorance by himself and fall upon another profitable question. hopeful with all my heart, but you shall still begin. Christian. Well then, did you not know about 10 years ago one temporary in your parts, who was a forward man in religion then? Know him? Yes, he dwelt in Graceless, a town about 2 miles off of Honesty, and he dwelt next door to one Turnback. Right. He dwelt under the same roof with him. Well, that man was much awakened once. I believe that then he had some sight of his sins and of the wages that were due thereto. Hopeful, I am of your mind, for my house not being above 3 miles from him, he would oft-times come to me, and that with many tears. Truly I pitied the man, and was not altogether without hope of him. But one may see it is not every one that cries, Lord, Lord. Christian. He told me once that he was resolved to go on pilgrimage, as we do now. But all of a sudden he grew acquainted with one Save Self, and then he became a stranger to me. Hopeful. Now, since we are talking about him, let us a little inquire into the reason of the sudden backsliding of him and such others. Christian. It may be very profitable, but do you begin? Well then, there are, in my judgment, 4 reasons for it. Number 1, though the consciences of such men are awakened, yet their minds are not changed. Therefore, when the power of guilt weareth away, that which provoked them to be religious ceaseth. Wherefore, they naturally turn to their own course again, even as we see the dog that is sick of what he has eaten. So long as his sickness prevails, he vomits and casts up all. Not that he doth this of a free mind, if we may say a dog has a mind, but because it troubleth his stomach. But now, when his sickness is over, and so his stomach eased, his desires being not at all alienated from his vomit, he turns him about and licks up all. And so it is true, which is written, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. This I say, being hot for heaven by virtue only of the sense and fear of the torments of hell, as their sense of hell and the fears of damnation chills and cools, so their desire for heaven and salvation cool also. So then it comes to pass that when their guilt and fear is gone, their desires for heaven and happiness die, and they return to their course again. 2, another reason is they have slavish fears that do overmaster them. I speak now of the fears that they have of men, for the fear of men bringeth a snare. So then, though they seem to be hot for heaven, so long as the flames of hell are about their ears, yet when that terror is a little over, they betake themselves to second thoughts, namely that 'tis good to be wise and not to run, for they know not what, the hazard of losing all, or at least of bringing themselves into unavoidable and unnecessary troubles. So they fall and in with the world again. 3, the shame that attends religion lies also as a block in their way. They're proud and haughty, and religion in their eye is low and contemptible. Therefore, when they have lost their sense of hell and wrath to come, they return again to their former course. 4, guilt and to meditate terror are grievous to them. They like not to see their misery before they come into it, though perhaps the sight of it first, if they love that sight, might make them fly whither the righteous fly and are safe. But because they do, as I hinted before, they do even shun the thoughts of guilt and terror. Therefore, when once they are rid of their awakenings about the terrors and wrath of God, they harden their hearts gladly and chase such ways as will harden them more and more. Christian, you're pretty near the business. For the bottom of all is, for want of a change in their mind and will, and therefore they are but like the felon that standeth before the judge, He quakes and trembles and seems to repent most heartily. But the bottom of all is the fear of the halter, not that he hath any detestation of the offense, as it is evident, because let but this man have his liberty, and he'll be a thief, and so a rogue still. Whereas if his mind was changed, he would be otherwise. Hopeful, now I have shewed you the reasons of their going back. You show me the manner thereof. All right, so I will, willingly. One, they draw off their thoughts, all that they may, from the remembrance of God, death, and judgment to come. Two, then they cast off by degrees private duties, as closet prayer, and curbing their lusts, and watching, and sorrow for sin, and the like. Three, then they shun the company of lively and warm Christians. Four, after that they grow cold to public duty, as hearing, reading, godly conference, and the like. Five, then they begin to pick holes, as we say, in the coats of some of the godly, and that devilishly, that they may have a seeming color to throw religion, for the sake of some infirmity that they have spied in them, throw religion behind their backs. Six, then they begin to adhere to and associate themselves with carnal, loose, and wanton men. Seven, then they give way to carnal and wanton discourses in secret, and glad are they if they can see such things in any that are counted honest, that they may the more boldly do it through their example. Eight, after this they begin to play with little sins openly. Nine, and then being hardened, they shew themselves as they are, thus being launched again into the gulf of misery. Unless a miracle of grace prevent it, they everlastingly perish in their own deceivings. Now I saw in my dream that by this time the pilgrims were got over the enchanted ground, and entering into the country of Beulah, whose air was very sweet and pleasant, the way lying directly through it, they solaced themselves there for a season. Yea, here they heard continually the singing of birds, and saw every day the flowers appear in the earth, and heard the voice of the turtle in the land. In this country the sun shineth night and day, wherefore this was beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and also out of the reach of giant despair. Neither could they from this place so much as see Doubting Castle. Here they were within sight of the city that they were going to. Also here met them some of the inhabitants thereof. For in this land the Shining Ones commonly walked, because it was upon the borders of heaven. In this land also the contract between the bride and the bridegroom was renewed. Yea, here, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so did their God rejoice over them. Here they had no want of corn and wine, for in this place they met with abundance of what they had sought in all their pilgrimage. Here they heard voices from out of the city, loud voices, saying, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Here all the inhabitants of the country called them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, sought out, and so on. We will continue next time, which will be Thursday, the entrance of our pilgrims to the place where they have been longing to be. We'll do that for 2 days, and that will be the end of Pilgrim's Progress. We'll do it Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, that would be the 18th of May. There will be no podcast because of a work schedule issue. But use the day, if you like, to come back to the site and look over some of the things that are there. You might want to visit the books tag, and just go up to the label books at the top of the page, click on it. No, store is the word you want, store. visit the store and see the 10, 11, 12 books that are there, combinations of all the things I've put together over many years. And I trust that you'll be interested in some of that. Next Monday, don't forget, we do questions and answers. I hope to be finished with Deuteronomy and beyond by that time. We'll go back, I forget where it was we left off, somewhere around Genesis 14, I think. Try to catch up with questions and answers as you go through the Bible. Good to be with you today, as always, and remember where we started with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Very familiar verse to all. Let's not forget it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.